a very interesting time. In many ways, the threat has diminished, and in other ways, it's different. So, to put it in context, in 2015, we had 61 Americans arrested for ISIS-related activities. And this year, we only have about 9. So by any measure, we've gone down. Now, the FBI still talks about 1,000 active investigations. And so it's something to be concerned about. But you're dealing with essentially a wounded animal right now who's trying to figure out what to do with the next steps.
Why do you suppose that number's shrunken so dramatically?
In the U.S. context, it had a big deal. In the U.S. context, it was very important, the idea of a physical space. So for the Americans who joined ISIS, they did so because the announcement of the so-called caliphate. It was clearly a driver for our folks. Once ISIS started losing territory, once they said, you know, don't come here anymore, the numbers went down significantly.
All right. So what does the reduction in numbers tell you with reference to the risk in the U.S., what you've seen so far this year?
Something to be concerned about, I think, is because they lost physical space, which by any measure is a good thing, the downside of that is people can't travel to Syria and Iraq to show their support for ISIS. And so they're looking inward to homeland attacks. And so you're going to see a number of individuals who would have liked to get on a plane to go travel to Syria and Iraq and are now looking at targets in the U.S. Now, that number would be smaller than it was in 2015 or 16, but it's still significant.
What about tactics? What do you see?
Yeah, tactics have been evolving, especially in the online space. So the best example of that is you're seeing a number of sophisticated attempts by ISIS supporters to use encrypted apps, cyber weapons in terms of hacking, and using those tactics to go after and show their support for ISIS.
What about physical attacks? What kind of tools and tactics are they using for that?
Whatever they can get. And we've seen that the history of ISIS attacks in the U.S. have been low-skill attacks. So the availability of guns is clearly makes things a little bit easier for ISIS supporters. And so you saw the attacks in San Bernardino, Orlando. You saw individuals, you know, using their vehicles, like an attack in Ohio, mm-hmm. Whatever they can in order to commit attacks. You're not seeing these kind of high-tech 9/11 type of style attacks, but you know, whatever you got in your kitchen is good enough for them.
What does that tell you with reference to the organizations that are involved or the leading threat organizations? Is ISIS still the number one threat, or is it Al-Qaeda again, or what is it?
Yeah, I think ISIS is still something to be concerned about. I think they still have supporters around the world. Al-Qaeda is an interesting animal because it's quietly been biding its time and positioning resources and personnel for attacks in the future. I think they've been happy with ISIS taking the heat from coalition forces, and that's allowed them the freedom to rebuild somewhat. You can't discount Al-Qaeda. I think the history of the last, you know, 2 decades shows us that.
We heard a lot about Al-Shabaab and Boko Haram in the previous couple of years and maybe the first part of this year, but we haven't heard a whole lot since then. Are those organizations still, or have they ever been able to pose an existential or an extraterritorial threat outside of Africa to the U.S.?
Boko Haram, not so much, or at least they haven't shown that as of yet. Al-Shabaab is in an interesting time, too. You have a number of particularly Westerners who traveled there who are in the middle of a feud between ISIS support in Somalia and Al-Shabaab support. And so you're seeing those individuals picking sides. Al-Shabaab has always tended to focus inward, but they've also looked at external plotting, whether that be, you know, attacks on airplanes and things like that. So I don't think we can discount Al-Shabaab's ability to attack.
Seamus Hughes, Deputy Director of the Program on Extremism at George Washington University. J.J. Green, WTOP News.